Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our special Pentecost service today. I think we might be a little bit down on numbers, as I think a few people might be coming tonight instead, because we've got a little special service tonight. Tonight we have our baptism service, and James, give us a wave, James. I don't think the others are here. Brian, Jin, and Matt are all going to be baptised tonight at 6 o'clock here. That's why we've got the pool here, which is, yep, it's heating up. That's good. So hopefully it'll be hot by tonight. So if you want to come again, it's going to be a different service tonight. Come at 6 o'clock for that, and we're going to have cake and celebratory drinks afterwards as well. One or two other things. We have just decided, I haven't got a slide on this, I don't think, that we're going to start an official start call. One or two people have been trained up and already doing the start calls one-to-one, particularly some CAP befrienders with their clients, which is great, and pray for them. But we're also going to put a course on. And I've been emailing someone who's going to be leading that course just this week, and within an hour of me emailing them to agree a date, we had one person sign up for it, and I've just gone into the office, and we've got another phone message from somebody. Sometimes when you just stick a date in the diary and start, that's when God begins to bring people. So if you're interested in the START course, which is exploring what Christianity is all about in 6 sessions, a really accessible course, there's more details on our website and our mailing, and there's some leaflets at the back of church. Do sign up, have a chat to me at the end, sign up online, and we'd love to connect you in with that. Also, just to say, coming up, and these details are on the mailing, is we've got a picnic lunch on the 19th of June after our service, which is going to be a joint picnic on Peachfield Common, a great chance to just get to know people, to mix with people, to just relax and socialise together, and we're hoping the weather will be better than it is going to be for this afternoon. So today is Pentecost, and we particularly are going to remember the story of how the Holy Spirit first came on those disciples and how the early church was born that day. And I really hope that as we explore this story, and you know, God's prompted me to scrap the sermon I had planned this morning. It's about 10 minutes ago, and we're going to look at something a bit different. So pray for me. It might be a bit chaotic, as Pentecost was. But, you know, that's sometimes when God's Spirit moves. So why don't we stand, and just as we begin, let's open our hearts to be open to whatever God's Spirit wants to do today. Perhaps let go of all the worries and the anxieties and just the baggage that you come with this morning. Just hand those over to God right now. Perhaps as you're breathing and as you're just sensing your breathing in and breathing out, just receive the breath of the Holy Spirit. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, meet us here. We're going to sing, asking the Spirit to come right now. And if you're want to come and grab an instrument, children, do grab an instrument and come and join in with us.
Spirit, break out. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that on that first Pentecost, you know, you broke out in an amazing way. And we know our world, ourselves, our families, our church, our communities, we need a fresh breaking out. And so this Pentecost, would you come? Would you come and transform us? Would you come and transform our church? Would you come and transform our communities? Would you come and transform our world, we pray. Amen. Do take a seat, but I'd like the children to come and join me at the front, if that's possible. Don't be shy, there's something exciting going to happen. And I wonder, on Pentecost is great because you can do some really special effects on Pentecost, can't you? Can anybody tell me what special effects happened at first Pentecost? Does anybody know?
Someone said fire. There was fire, and there was the Holy Spirit came, yeah, in tongues of fire and like the wind. And I'm going to show you some fire. See, I'm never quite sure what those tongues of fire must have looked like, but maybe just, I better get a decent match. Maybe, just maybe. Imagine, like those being on your head. I can't do it again. I haven't got any more paper. It's special paper. It's special flash paper, and I left the rest at home. So I'll do it for you another time, Sky. But let's, shall we watch a little bit more about what happened at Pentecost? That's, I think the children are going to go and look at in their special. So there we go, there's a little story that you're going to be thinking of later, and we're going to be thinking of later too. But the key thing is that the Holy Spirit changed those first disciples in an amazing way. He empowered them, he gave them power to speak of Jesus to others. And he gave them power to live differently, especially in their special community, which was the beginning of the church. So lots of things that you're going to think about, and I would love you guys to come back afterwards and come and tell us what you found out, and we'll tell you what we found out. Is that a deal? It's great. So shall we pray? Shall we pray for you? There's only a few of you this morning because everyone was early birds this morning, that's why. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you send your Spirit to empower us, to change us, to transform us, to build your kingdom. And I thank you that your Spirit comes not just on the old, but on the young too, that each and everyone can receive your Spirit. So we particularly pray for these special young ones, that as they go to their group today, that you would just fill them afresh with your Spirit, that they would learn more about you and be transformed and changed and become more like you in the way that they live. So bless them, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll see you guys later. Pathfinders and children, off to your groups. And I'm going to invite Andy to come up. He's here. So one of the things we're doing over the next these few weeks is we're just telling you a little bit about each week about something that happens in the church and one of our mission areas. And Andy's going to come and tell us about a mission area. Now, Andy's mission area particularly was inspired by the passage we've just had read to us and the passage we're going to be thinking about later, because it talked about how the believers shared with those who were in need. And we looked at this story about 3 years ago now, and this is what came out of it.
So I want to tell you about a thing that we created as a church now about 4 years ago, a thing called the Blessing Fund. This was set up as a joint church between ourselves and All Saints. We recognised, as you'll hear regularly if you attend this church, that we recognise how many ways we are blessed. And from that, we wish to be a blessing to the communities in which we live, to our families, to our friends, those whose lives we touch on a day-by-day basis. And we recognise that one of the key ways that people needed to be supported is financially. Maybe with small gifts, maybe with slightly larger gifts, but financially to be able to address the day-to-day challenges that they may face, maybe temporarily, maybe longer term. So in December 2018, we created, as a combined church, a thing that we called the Blessing Fund. We didn't want it to be confusing. Blessing Fund, fairly obvious what it was there to do. We deliberately wanted to be able to support people locally, as I say, that we met on a day-to-day basis, those whose lives we shared. As a church, you'll be aware that we support a whole variety of activities, both corporately within Malvern, but also elsewhere in the United Kingdom and internationally. But what we didn't do was support each other, one-on-one, or at least not corporately as a church. There were lots of activities, of course, going on to support one another and blessing one another. But we didn't do it as a church. So we created this fund. That date, possibly not insignificant, that was just a year, isn't it, before COVID. Some may say that God was in this, in creating something that would give us an opportunity to recognise what was coming and to be present and ready to be able to support those in our communities at most need, those most affected by what for many has been a financial challenge, a very significant financial challenge. We give away gifts of money, not significant amounts of money, possibly, at one end of the spectrum. One of our smallest gifts has been £20 to make a significant difference to somebody where they had a particular need. And we give away a variety of sums of money, up to, say, £300 or £400, where there is a need. We created a little team of people, rather than it resting on the shoulders of somebody like Dave or Peter. We created a little team of people who receive a case, receive a description, brief description, usually anonymous for all the obvious reasons, of where there is a need. That group can review that need, make sure we are stewarding money appropriately rather than just giving it out without due care. So a small team of people made up of the treasurers and the wardens and a couple of other people just to review what that case is and then to make a gift, usually very quickly, often the same day, or at least within a day or so, to recognise an immediate need that somebody has. Helps to personalise this a bit, doesn't it? Let me tell you about the sorts of things that we have done over the last 4 years with this fund, 3 years with this fund. We provide basic clothing needs for various people. A common use of these funds has been to cover basic costs of living, where somebody's had an emergency, something's broken, they don't have the resources to pay for it. Can we help in some way, either with part of the cost or all of the cost, to replace something in an emergency? We helped somebody get a bike to be able to travel to work. We helped with the costs of weddings and, sadly, also with some funerals, where people needed to incur cost at a time of challenge where they didn't have the resource. We'd help somebody with some counselling costs, something that made a material difference to their ability to be able to cope with a particularly difficult circumstance they faced in their life. We've helped quite a number of CAP clients, Christians Against Poverty, which is a debt centre that we help run here from this church, but together with other churches in Malvern, where people have particular crises with debt. We've been able to support a number of people in that situation. We've helped some young people go on a trip where they couldn't afford to do so otherwise. So a whole variety of ways in which the funds have been able to support people. What sort of money are we talking about? Yeah, not small amounts of money. Since we created this fund, we've raised almost £29,500, almost £30,000 has been given by people in this community between us and All Saints, and we've given away about £18,500. I don't want you to do any maths on a Sunday morning, that's way too hard. So I've done the maths for you. That means we've got about £11,000 sat in our bank account, ready to be given away to need. I'm the treasurer of the church here. This bothers me. I don't like having money sat in our bank account that's been given to help people in need when I know that there are people in need in our community that we just don't know about yet. So one of the appeals I want to make today is to tell you about this fund, but also to ask you, who do you have contact with? Who are people who you meet on a day-to-day basis for whom a gift, a small financial gift, could make a material difference anonymously through the church to bless them as we wish to bless them as we have been blessed? Who does God put on your heart? Who do you meet? Who could you help with this? Even if you're not in a position to help them yourself financially, a fund has been set up to do that so that you can be a blessing to our community. How can you get involved? Please suggest needs to us. Those of us who are on the team of people who run this fund can only touch a certain number of people's lives and recognise a certain number of issues. It needs all of us to have our eyes open, to be listening to God, to saying, there's a need. Go ask for some funds in order for that person, for that family, for that situation to be touched and blessed by this church, by All Saints. So do please send an email or talk to Dave or to myself. I'm Andy Lima, for those of you who don't know me, the treasurer here, or Paul Southern, who's the treasurer at All Saints. We can discuss that situation with you and put a small case to the team anonymously if that's appropriate. We're very happy to do that. Names don't need to be shared if that's a sensitive concern. And as I say, the group of people involved in this will make a decision very quickly, and money can be in somebody's bank account or in their hands literally within 24 hours to deal with an issue if that's necessary. I said we've got £11,000. It'd be great to see that spent. But of course, I know that £11,000 will not solve all the needs that we face in Malvern and those you touch. So if you do feel like you could contribute, I know we've just come off a month of asked for extra giving for this church to help raise funds for the activities we do and the new staffing needs. So I hesitate to ask for yet more funds. That may be appropriate. God may touch some of you to say you'd like to make a one-off gift to this, or you'd like to start contributing regularly. If that's not you, absolutely fine. We've got £11,000. We've got plenty of money to be able to support some need. But as that money is used up, we need to keep refilling that so that we can keep blessing people. So two ways in which you could engage with this. Is there somebody who you can see who could be helped with a small gift or a larger gift financially? Or could you give to this fund? My email address is there on the bottom. Please feel free to reach out. You know Dave's address already, if we can help in any way. So some information about the Blessing Fund here at the church. Thanks, Dave.
I think that is so exciting. It's a long time, perhaps, by some of us who've been just given the freedom to give money and to meet needs in that sort of way. I think that's really good. And God has really blessed us, blessed me individually, us as a couple, and many others I know, where we have been able to find needs and make a suggestion and see them met, whether it's been paying someone's council tax during a hardship time or when they've moved house and they need a bit of money, you know, to tide them over. And God has been really good to us as a church, so that we can do that for one another and for those in the much wider community as well. So let's pray together, shall we? And thank God and pray for others. Lord, we thank you for this initiative that Andy has outlined, and we thank you, Lord, that you we cannot ever outgive you. You give and you give and you give. And we know, Lord, that there is inequality, but we pray as Christians, as people who care about your work and your community and your people, that we will be responsible in our giving in that sort of way. So we thank you and we pray you will bless and bless others through the Blessing Fund as we move ahead. So we really thank you. So what would be top of your list to pray for today? There's so much going on, isn't there? And not least in the nation at the moment. And I've enjoyed, as I hope you have, taking part in some of the Jubilee celebrations. And so we just want to acknowledge that and pray for our Queen this morning and then move on into the various needs and issues that we're thinking about. So a prayer for our Queen then. Lord God, we are urged in your word to pray for all in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Thank you for answering these prayers for Queen Elizabeth, our Queen, and for example of godly living and sacrificial service over 70 years. We thank you for her strong faith and her willingness to share it to the nation. We pray that you will continue to shelter her with your everlasting love in this Jubilee year and inspire and bless her life to the end of her days, and that at the last you may say to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we realise that she is only who she is because of what she believes and who she believes in. And we thank you for that demonstration that she exhibits. So, Lord, we thank you that you are one who inhabits your people. We thank you, Lord, that you come into our lives, and we remember that particularly on today's Day of Pentecost celebration. We thank you that it's your Spirit that takes us and changes and molds and modifies and transforms us to be like Jesus. And we pray that we will be good ambassadors for him in our nation and in our community. Lord, we pray that you would work in our lives, that we would let you work in our lives to minister your grace and your goodness and your salvation. In June 1953, I got this Bible, my souvenir of the coronation. And here it is, I've still got it. And it's travelled with me over many years. And I thank you, Lord, for the receipt of that Bible and the vision that the school I went to, a village church school, had the opportunity of giving scripture out to the pupils. And that has stood me in good stead and been a foundation for my life. So I thank you, Lord, for all those who distribute the scriptures. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that it changes. It's a living word. And we pray that we will read it more diligently and absorb it into our hearts and lives as we seek to follow you. Lord, we particularly pray today for those who are being baptized tonight. We pray for Jin and James, Matt and Brian. In particular, Lord, that you will anoint them today with your Holy Spirit, your Pentecost Holy Spirit, and that their lives will be empowered to serve you as they walk in their journey as Christians together. And I pray that you would really open avenues of service, of things you want to teach them and use them in as they seek to follow you, and that you would inspire them and deepen their faith. Lord, this morning we perhaps also remember those who are less advantaged. It's easy to get carried away with the crowds and the flag waving and the limousines and the richness of and glossiness of everything going on, which is fine. But Lord, we remember those, like two guys I met on Newtown Road yesterday morning, having slept on the pavement in the doorway. And Lord, I pray for them that they will have proper shelter and their needs will be met. Lord, you've taught us to look after those and reach out to those who are disadvantaged, who are marginalised. And we pray for all who are in that situation this morning, those we know of. And we pray you will touch their lives and provide. We pray you will comfort those who are in distress this morning. We pray that you would help those who are hard-pressed and who are worried about all sorts of aspects of life. May they know your peace in their lives. We pray for those still suffering from COVID. It's still around. We mustn't ever forget that, you know, perhaps we've come through it and out the other side. There are those who are still suffering. Lord, touch them and heal them, we pray. And we pray especially for the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, as he has COVID as well this morning, that you would heal him and bring him back to full strength again. Lord, we know that a lot of this work can't go on without good administration and good planning and guidance. And we do pray for the adverts that have gone out from this church for these future roles of administrator, of ministering in outreach and in ministering to youth. And we pray that you would direct us and direct the people you want into those positions as we wait on you. But we particularly ask that they will have your heart at the centre of their lives. And as we thought of 70 years Jubilee, we're thinking of 100 plus 2 days in Ukraine as they have struggled with war and with devastation and destruction. And we just plead with you, Lord, once again to intervene in this situation, that you would bring peace out of conflict. You would bring your rest and your justice out of injustice and destruction. And we pray for Ukraine, we pray for Russia, we pray for an agreement, an end to strife, Lord. We're not asking little things, we're asking big things, Lord, in this morning, that we will see peace, particularly as Kiev has been under attack again during the night. We pray for this grain which is trapped in silos and can't be exported. We pray that that will get out to the people around the world who need it because they have not grain of their own. Lord, we pray for peace in your world. Holy Spirit of peace, will you move, will you brood over this earth and over these trouble spots and bring your healing and your justice into these human situations. And we pray for those whom we know and love. Particularly we pray for Terry and Hanka in the Czech Republic. And others, Lord, who are serving you. We commend them to you. And we ask, O God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will just lead us forward and help us to walk and live and speak out for you as we trust you for our lives day by day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And let's just join with people all over the world in saying the Lord's Prayer together then, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs now in worship to our Lord and inviting the Holy Spirit to come and move among us. So I would suggest you take whatever position you like, whether you feel it's appropriate to stand or to sit or to kneel or whatever, but be able to receive what the Lord is bringing through our worship.
Taste it and see, oh sweetness of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame.
We need you. We're desperate for you, Lord. So come. Come, Lord.
Roger's going to come and read scripture to us, but I'm going to pray now as we just listen to this scripture being read. Come up, Roger. Let's pray just for open hearts. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories which inspire us. And as we hear this story afresh, for many of us it will be, we'll have heard it many times. Some of us may have not heard it before. But we pray that you would speak through these words, that you would speak by the power of your Spirit, and that you would transform us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And this can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1093. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Roger. Well done for getting through all those names. This weekend, of course, has been a special celebration, hasn't it? Celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and I hope you've enjoyed whatever celebrations you've had as part of that. We certainly enjoyed having our holiday at home special tea last Friday, and thank you to everyone who was part of that, and especially to those people who made those cakes. They were amazing. But of course, you know, it's a week of celebration, weekend of celebration, isn't it? With not just the Queen's Jubilee, but with Pentecost, perhaps, you know, one of the biggest, perhaps Easter's the biggest, celebrations in the church calendar. But I wonder whether you can tell me, is there a connection between the Queen's Jubilee and Pentecost? You know, I think there is, because actually 69 years ago at her coronation, and we watched the film of the coronation at the Holiday at Home Tea. It's the first time I'd ever watched that colour film before. It was amazing. But we watched this special bit. There was a really special bit, the central part of that whole service, where the Queen is there and they cover her with this canopy. And she strips away all the jewellery and all the finery. And there, underneath that canopy, she's anointed by the Archbishop. And this is the prayer that was said over her. Bless and sanctify thy chosen servant Elizabeth, who by our office and ministry is now to be anointed with this oil and consecrated queen. Strengthen her, O Lord, with the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Confirm and establish her with thy free and princely spirits, the spirit of wisdom and government, the spirit of counsel and ghostly strength, the spirit of, that means Holy Spirit strength, not ghostly strength, the spirit of knowledge and true godliness. And fill her, O Lord, with the spirit of thy holy fear, now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's quite an amazing prayer which was said over her at that moment before she was, in effect, consecrated queen. She was prayed for to be strengthened and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure she would say, you know, that's been so, so important to her throughout her reign, that that is the thing that has sustained her, that God's help through the Holy Spirit empowering her to fulfill the role that she was given to fulfill. And I think we've all just seen how well she's done that over the last 70 years, haven't we? But of course, it's not just royalty that needs to be anointed and filled with the Spirit. And that's the link I really want to make today with this story in Pentecost. This story that we've read again afresh, and this story which just changes everything. And I want to just invite us, first of all, to just imagine the scene. Just imagine that you are one of those disciples in that upper room or wherever it was, gathered together,
You know, it's a few days since Jesus ascended into heaven. And last thing Jesus had said to you is basically, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus was gone, and they were left alone, waiting. Just imagine what that must have been like. What were their emotions? What would you have felt in that time? You know, I suspect there was a whole range of emotions going through their heads. Feeling inadequate. Feeling perhaps alone that Jesus had left them. Feeling expectant. But perhaps feeling afraid. What was this that was going to come? Who was this that was going to come? How was it going to change them? They knew nothing about their mission ahead. And then on that Pentecost day, as they were waiting, as they were probably praying and worshipping together, we hear the sound. Here there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, and then tongues like fire descended on their heads. It must have been really scary for them, wasn't it? Think, what on earth is happening? What on earth is going on? But that was the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the transforming Spirit. Spirit who they were never the same again because of the Holy Spirit coming and filling them. And I want just to think very briefly, because I want us to spend a fair bit of time today just allowing God to encounter us through his Spirit and whatever he wants to today. But I want to think briefly about how were those disciples transformed? How were they transformed by the Spirit coming? How were they different after the Spirit came than before? And here are a few things I just want to suggest. You know, I think their fear was transformed into courage, wasn't it? You know, those guys were probably really fearful once Jesus had been killed and then rose again, and they were thinking, are they going to come for us next? That's why they were perhaps hiding away particularly. They were afraid of what the future was going to hold, but actually what we see on the day of Pentecost, we see them having boldness and courage to speak about Jesus. You know, they didn't hold back. They suddenly went out amongst the whole of the crowds and they spoke just whatever the Spirit led them to speak. You see, the Spirit also transformed them to speak boldly about Jesus. He transformed their fear to courage. He enabled them to speak boldly about Jesus. What we see too is that the disciples ended up doing miracles. You know, what the Holy Spirit did too was the Holy Spirit equipped them to perform miracles and signs and wonders. Miracles and signs and wonders which made people look and say, actually, this Jesus is real because of what I see these disciples doing. The Holy Spirit also transformed them into an amazingly loving community, didn't he? You know, we see that at the end of chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, we see those believers, as we heard on the little kids thing earlier, those believers were transformed into having amazing love for each other. So such a loving, radically different community that those people who weren't Christians actually looked on and said, what is different about those guys? You know, they met the needs, different needs of the people, didn't they? It says no one was in need because they shared all their possessions. They shared what they had in common. They were transformed into amazing, radical community. And the Holy Spirit too, you know, the Holy Spirit guides them into their mission. You know, they didn't know what they were about to do. They didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't know what their role was particularly, but actually all the time they're praying and the Holy Spirit guides them to say, go here, It guides them to have boldness to speak to different people. The Holy Spirit guides them in the direction that they should go. And not just that, but the Holy Spirit is also transforming the hearts of those who are listening, aren't they? Transforming the hearts of those listening. That actually it was this, as the disciples spoke out the words spoke out the stories and the truth of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Those disciples, people who became disciples, it says, were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart in responding to the news of the gospel. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that transforms hearts. You know, I find that a really great help, that actually I don't have to be the one that transforms hearts. I don't have to be the one that actually converts people. That's God's work. God, by the Holy Spirit, transforms those hearts. And I wonder what as we look at that story, I wonder what we think. Do we just think, you know, actually those were just those first disciples? They were able to do amazing things because they were the disciples of Jesus. They were the disciples that had been with Jesus. They were those special people there who Jesus had chosen to at this point in time, to grow the church, to be the ones passing on the message of Jesus. What we find in Acts 4, a couple of two or three chapters later, it describes those people as ordinary, unschooled men. Ordinary, unschooled men, just like me and just like you. And the amazing thing that prophecy of Joel in this passage is that, you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the special. The Holy Spirit wasn't just for the royalty of this world, the really important people of this world. The Holy Spirit was for each and every person who was open to believing. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. You know, the God's gift of his Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. It's not just for royalty. It's not just for the important. It's for the ordinary, like you and like me. And I want to just invite us to think, as we prepare to just be open to God's Spirit, how do we want to be transformed today? How do we want the Holy Spirit to transform us in our situations? What are those things that we see in those first disciples? Maybe actually we, like those first disciples, perhaps are struggling with fear and anxiety. Maybe actually we're afraid of speaking of Jesus to those we work with, to our neighbours, to our family members. Maybe we want to pray that actually the Holy Spirit would transform us to speak boldly of Jesus. Maybe actually we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to transform us into, you know, a radical, loving community. You know, I love what Andy was sharing about the Blessings Fund. You know, I think that speaks so much of the community that God has put here, and of God's Spirit's work in the generosity of people. Let's pray that God would continue to fill us more and more with his transforming Holy Spirit. Maybe actually today you need that guidance. You need that peace from the Spirit. Maybe that's what you particularly want to know of the Holy Spirit today. Maybe actually you want to be equipped by the Spirit to fulfill whatever role God has given you. We aren't all called to be queens, thankfully. But we are each given a specific role. As a parent, in our workplaces, as a neighbour, helping at the food bank, whatever we're called to do, the Holy Spirit equips us and longs to give us all that we need to be all that God has called us to be. So I want to encourage us now to simply wait on God, just as those first disciples did. They waited on the Spirit, not knowing what the Spirit was going to do, not knowing what they even needed. But they were called to wait and just be open. And more than anything this morning, I just want us to wait and be open to the Spirit. I'm going to play a chant, which actually is uses the Latin word, Veni Sanctus Spiritus, which simply means come, Holy Spirit. I don't want to just invite, you know, the Spirit to come in each and every one of us, for us to open our hearts to the Spirit and allow God to do what God wants to do. And as this plays, I just invite you maybe to just hold out your hands as a sign of openness. Be open to what the Lord may put on your heart, what he puts in your mind. Maybe just offer what you would like to be emboldened by with today. What do you like the Spirit to do in you today? Let's be open to the Spirit. So just invite us to just sit in the silence and allow God to meet us.
sensing particularly that for some people here, just actually it's that sense of knowing the peace of the Spirit, which actually God wants to pour on you more than anything today. And you just know that peace, dwell in that peace that only the Spirit can bring. Just what we're going to offer in the last song as the musicians play is, if you want to come and have be anointed, just like the Queen was anointed for her role. You know, we all have our own roles that God has given us. Maybe some of you don't even know those yet. But if you want to come and receive a fresh anointing, someone will just anoint you with oil and pray for the equipping power of the Holy Spirit for you. Just not a big deal, but just to be open, a sign of your openness to God's. Then feel free to come up as this last song is played, and we'll administer that and pray for you. Let's stand, shall we?
Must be
going to say the final prayer, but I'm going to invite the group to continue to play after that. And if you want to just stay in this place of just being open to God's Spirit, maybe God just wants to do some more in some of us. If you want to come and be anointed still, then please do come. If you want to receive prayer for anything else, then come and ask those who are at the front to pray for you about anything particularly. But just continue to be open to God's presence and the Spirit's filling afresh this Pentecost. It's going to be coffee at the end of the service too in the hall, so do go and join down for coffee. But let's say our final prayer. Say this together. Fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. May God the Father surround us with his love now and forever.
Thank you.